the sun. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, laugh to your face. Fight and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slide. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no one leaves gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. So spread the word. Lots of good hosts on here. Lots of good information. Lots of people helping you learn to think and, more importantly, ask questions, because asking questions leads one to go find an answer. That is how you gain knowledge. That is the best way to gain knowledge. And thankfully, more and more people are doing so, asking questions, finding answers, gaining knowledge. Because knowledge is power. And unfortunately, the people in my country, Canada, are probably some of the least knowledgeable people on the freaking planet. And that's not by accident. That was designed. So, what shall we talk about? Let me see. Where will we go here? Well, I see that Ottawa, is ending policy that rejects immigrants on medical grounds by April. Hussein says, now, he's a gentleman, he's an Ismaili Muslim, who's our federal immigration minister, who was put into place shortly after Trudeau returned from his visit with the Aga Khan, who is also the head of the Ismaili Muslim group, and the previous immigration minister, John McCollum, who's a ex-TD banker, piss tank, absolute drunk, was shoved off to China. I don't think he's very happy about it, but hey, when the Aga Khan says, put this guy in, let's go, it gets done. So the immigration minister, Hamed Hussein, said today he will present a plan by April to kill an outdated policy that excludes migrants based on their medical conditions. But the good old NDP, National Socialist, UNPA members, wants quicker action to end the discriminatory clause. NDP immigration critic Jerry Kwan held a news conference today calling on the government to repeal a section of the Immigration Act and Refugee Protection Act that allows applicants to be rejected because they could impose an excessive demand on the healthcare system. Hmm. Now, our healthcare system is failing rapidly by design. Everything happens by design. She said the issue has been on the government radar since 2016, yet the discriminatory policy that causes heartache and hardship remains. Still, there's no action, Kwan said. Well, we have an awful lot of Canadians who are homeless. We have an awful pile of Canadians who are struggling to keep a roof over their heads. The poverty rate in this country continues to grow. Our veterans don't get looked after too good. But hey, tough luck. You know, you can wait in line to get to see a doctor for another extra 2-3 days or whatever. Not a big problem. So Kwan wants some action. Now, this is a European nation. It was built by Europeans. And Ahmed Hussein and Kwan are good European names, I guess. Or I guess now they're just good Canadian names. Anyways, the House of Commons studied the issue last fall when Hussein told the Immigration Committee the government was committed to ditching the 40-year-old policy. He said at the time it does not align with our country's values and inclusion of person with disabilities in Canadian society. Now, again, you can go back to the UN and look for the document, and you will run into why they're ditching that part of the Immigration Act, because they're told to. By who? By the globalists. And what do they want? End of nation states. And this is what we're watching, the end of our nation. There's only one way to stop it. I am absolutely sick and tired of listening to people babble on about conservatives and liberals and NDP and the odd time, even the lunatic Green Party. Sick to death of it. When you, in this country, are babbling on about, well, we can't wait to get Trudeau, we'll get the conservatives in, you just called yourself an idiot. You realize that. I hope you realize that. Because that's what you are. A complete and total fool. Understand that that political system that we have, the party system, was put in place for a reason. And that reason was very simple, to divide the people. And it apparently has done a pretty good job of it. And, understand one thing. Canada is a member state of the United Nations. As a member state, it is bound to the treaties and agreements signed. And therefore, that is your government. There is no liberal UN, there is no conservative UN, there is no NDP UN, there is no green UN, there is just the UN. So please, get it through your skulls. Get out of this nonsense, this right-left paradigm of stupidity. Because if you are discussing politics in 2018, trying to sound intelligent by calling Trudeau, any number of names, there's no end to what you could call Trudeau, and hoping the Conservative Party gets their act together so they can sweep the Liberals out of power so they can do exactly the same thing that the Liberals are doing. Called insanity. Now I know you were taught nothing about politics. And there's a reason for that. Because if you understood politics, well, we'd have a different country. Now, the trick is to get to that different country. That's the trick. And you're not ever going to get there playing left-right politics. You're going to lose your country. And unfortunately, if we lose the country, your children have a very bleak outlook. Now, if you really care about your families, then you better understand what's going on. Anyways, how we do that, that is getting rid of that part of the act, is equally important because this affects provincial health care and social service budgets, and we have to do it with in line with what the provinces are willing to do, he said. Well, the provinces are willing to do whatever the UN tells them to do. That's why you have a Dyke, who is the Premier of Ontario. That's why the senior policy advisor for early sex education was a pedophile. Because the UN is a body of evil, amoral, a-holes that are going to have to be dealt with. But hey, you can always vote conservative. Hussein made the remarks today during an appearance before the Immigration Committee where I mean, this is bullshit. Is this a sentence? Made the remarks today during an appearance before the Immigration Committee, I mean, Jesus, this is the Canadian or the Communist Broadcasting Corporation news, and they don't even have any proofreaders. But hey. Everybody's getting dumber. What's it matter? Morris Tomlinson, senior policy analyst at the Canadian... I love this piece. Senior policy analyst at the Canadian HIV/AIDS Legal Network warned that the government must repeal the clause, not rework it. Any tinkering with it would only perpetrate discrimination against persons with disabilities, he said. This hurtful, stigmatizing, and unnecessary regime must end. At committee, Hussein, who was asked about the impact of the government's decision to lift the visa requirement for visitors from Romania and Bulgaria, a department official said there have been 232 asylum claims since the visa was lifted in December, but could not say if that was a blip or the beginning of an upward trend. Conservative immigration critic Michelle Rimple said the figure is troubling. Considering the number was virtually zero under the visa for such a short period of time, it's a significant spike, she told the communist, or no, the, what does that other thing people call the CBC, the Canadian Brainwashing Corporation. So you can have it, you can, you know, you see CBC, you can make it the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, or you can make it the Canadian Brainwashing Corporation, whichever fits your mind better, I suppose. It's particularly concerning because it shows the government doesn't have a mitigation strategy to deal with this. An official with Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship said representatives met the Romanian ambassador earlier this month but would not say how large the volume of asylum claims must become before the government reinstates the visa. So Canada anticipated a significant increase in asylum claims from Mexicans. Now, there's a bunch of comments down here, and some of them, most of them, don't get anywhere near the real problem. This is ridiculous, says Joan McDonald. I don't know about the other provinces, but Ontario is in trouble when it comes to health care. Ontario is considering a plan to urgently transform a mothballed hospital site in Toronto into a temporary source of beds as a result of overcrowded hospital wards, the province's health minister confirmed on Wednesday. Mark Eve says this is ridiculous. How long before they rush in 65-year-olds to hand them CPP? I guess the next budget will cost all this out. I wonder if wounded ISIS are being CC'd under this scheme. Now, that's interesting. You know, how long before they rush in 65-year-olds? Well, when I lived on the West Coast back in the 70s, there was a massive influx of East Indians. And when I was talking to the East Indian people, that's exactly what was going on then. So nothing's different. You know, they would come over here, some, you know, a couple with some kids or whatever. And once they were here for a little while, then they would bring their parents. And a lot of these people who were coming in needed you needed 5 years to be a citizen. So bring them in at 60 or whatever age group. But they were bringing them in, getting their citizenship. And then the pension goes where you go. You don't have to be in Canada to get the pension. So these older folks, once they got the pension, they were back in their home countries. And you were paying for their pensions in their homelands. Because you see, once you're 65, you get your pension. Now, when they bring in these parents and grandparents over, they're not likely going to worry about learning English or French, depending where you are. So they just stay at home, look after the kids, keep the house clean, whatever it is they do. And then when they get their pension money, then they can go home and hang out with the rest of the family. We send them a check, and they don't have to learn how to speak English. The Canadian people should be just freaking up in arms, but they're not. Now, Jeremiah Johnson, interesting movie that was, but anyway, this is nothing more than the Liberals pandering for votes from any and all sectors of society. And if you think this BS has gone on long enough, then get your pencil ready to mark that X next federal election, but not in the Liberal or NDP box. Well, Jeremiah Johnson, let's see, the movie You Were a Mountain Man, go back up to the mountain, because you don't know anything. Now, Santos says, if you thought lineups, wait times, doctor shortages, and financially strapped, pressured healthcare services are bad now, just wait. What a disgrace. Another of the unending Canadians' last policies from this wretched government. And then Chuck says, do these Liberal ministers ever come up with some good ideas? Something that might benefit Canadians? Well, of course not. because they don't represent you. Never did. So maybe now Canadians will lift a finger or two and tell their MPPs how they feel about this. Well, they don't care how you feel about it, Jamie. Because, again, they don't represent you. So I'm looking for some good comments, but not really finding anything. Trudeau thinks he's Mother Teresa healing the world. Isn't that sweet? No. Just when you think the libs couldn't become any more inept, they step up to the plate and hit it out of the park. Worst government in Canadian political history, bar none. Well, you could look at the history, the political history, which is a complete ruse, right? It was set up as a deception. So, worst government in Canada? I don't know. You know, we had a government sign us on to the League of Nations. We had a government sign us on to the United Nations. We had a government sign us on to Agenda 21. Worst? No, just more of the same. If any prospective immigrant is in need of medical treatment, they must be denied entry to Canada and sent back to their home country, unless our leader wants to foot the bill from his daddy's trust fund. Okay. That might work, but ain't going to happen. It's not good. But you know, we have open borders. And again, people don't go looking for anything. They just look at what's in front of their face. That's people in the audience. You know? We hate Trudeau because he's on the news all the time. He's a complete idiot. Well, no, he's just doing what he told to do. We're the idiots. Because you think this clown's in charge. He's not. Now, Alan says, Justin learned these tactics from Pierre, Joe Clark. Let's say from Pierre. Joe Clark tried to rescind grants to ethnic newspapers because the costs were too high. Trudeau ran opposed to that with the backing of said newspapers and won. It's no longer about what's best for Canada. It's about blind ambition and winning at all costs. And Jamie Taylor once again says, did I just wake up in the Twilight Zone? Well, I suppose. Because, you know, think of yourself more as Rip Van Winkle, you know, who went to sleep for a long time and then woke up and looked around and went, what the hell? So, yeah, we have been asleep for a very, very, very long time. And thankfully now people are starting to wake up and they're going, what the hell? That'd be probably a good start point. But you don't want to stay there. You don't want to be wandering around like a bunch of zombies going, like, what the hell? You know, you have a duty. This is your nation. These are your people. And we're not going to get nothing accomplished by just wandering around complaining about it. Now, I do like this thing that Alan put in. Justin learned these tactics from Pierre, his daddy. Joe Clark tried to rescind grants. Oh, okay. Well, who's Joe Clark? Joe Clark? Okay, now the immigration minister, is Mali Muslim. Joe Clark, who this guy's praising, is the guy who gives out the Aga Khan awards. Not kidding you. So, but this again, like we did this Tuesday night with Kim Campbell, who was a prime minister for 4 months, I think it was. Joe Clark was another blink in the eye, or blink of the eye, prime minister. Both conservatives. Think about that. Now, anyways, Joe Clark was on a panel in California, Berkeley, sitting on a panel trying to figure out how to soft shoe the North American Union down our throats. And Joe Clark, little Joe, is also what's Joe Clark up to besides being the guy that hands out the pluralism, I think it is, awards for the Aga Khan. I think it's pluralism. Global, yeah, it's global pluralism awards. You know, and you know, people complain about the health care, yet Canada, I think the total to date to the Aga Khan is something like $300 million of your tax dollars. And now we have an Ismaili federal immigration minister. Oops. So you go through all Joe Clark stuff. And I really, you know, I cannot say this enough. You got to back check stuff. You got to go look at stuff. And because people think, well, Joe Clark, he's not doing anything. Right? Well, they're all doing something because they're all in the Privy Council. And anybody that's in the Privy Council takes that oath of secrecy. Let me see, your prime minister, every single prime minister and every single cabinet minister and the highest of the high judiciary take an oath of secrecy. To serve the Privy Council. So you know when you elect someone and they're taking an oath of secrecy to something that is outside of the country, you got a problem. Now, Clark continues to apply his experience to foreign affairs. Not Canadian affairs, but foreign affairs. Like they're all doing. Clark served as public policy scholar at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Not the National Center for Scholars, but the International Center for Scholars. Now, Wilson was the dude who effectually got the Federal Reserve into place. And that's treason. Woodrow Wilson was a guy running around trying to get Americans to sign on to the League of Nations. Woodrow Wilson said, if you don't sign on, there's going to be another major war in a short period of time. or in the not too distant future. How would he know that? Well, because he was told that. Get it signed. But Americans didn't sign it because the public school system wasn't really in place yet. And the people still had family attachments, generational attachments, generational history handed down. They understood that signing that thing would cause a loss of national sovereignty, of which they weren't prepared to give up even the tiniest bit of sovereignty, because they understood why they fought the War of Independence. But once the public school system kicked up, that information starts to disappear quickly. And so ramp up another world war get the school system in between. And, oh boy, everybody can't wait to sign on to the United Nations. So, I'm not going to go to the, what the hell, I'm going to click on it. The Wilson International Center for Scholars, Washington, D.C. is a United States presidential memorial that was established as part of the Smithsonian Institution by an act of Congress in 68 also. Let's see what these clowns are up to. They have awards. Programs. Most of the center's staff form specialized programs and projects covering broad areas of study. There are approximately 14 programs, some of which are described below. The Africa program. Well, that doesn't have to do with anybody in America. The Asia program. That really doesn't have anything to do with the West. The Brazil Institute. The Canada Institute. Founded in 2001, the Canada Institute analyzes Canada-U.S. relations, trade, and Canada's international role. Cold War International History Project, Environmental Change and Security Program, History and Policy Program, the Kenan Institute, founded in 74 as a division of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, is committed to improving American understanding of Russia and the successor states to the Soviet Union. Also, the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States, the Mexico Institute, Middle East Program, North Korea International Documentation Program, and Science and Technology Innovation Program. So this is what Joe Clark was involved in. And let's see. Clark took a position at McGill University as a professor of practice for public-private sector partnerships at the McGill Institute for the Study of International Development. He serves with the Jimmy Carter Center. Well, this is all internationalism. This is the PC party. This is the Joe Clark, Prime Minister of Canada. I haven't seen anything in here yet where he's working on making Canada a better place for Canadians. There isn't a more nefarious university in Canada than McGill. McGill is like Marxism center in Canada. So the public-private partners sector partnerships is a way to sell off the assets that our forefathers and we built. That's the whole point of the PPP. Public-private partnerships are there designed. Now, they play it up. When they do a public-private partnership, they play it up. Oh, isn't this great? The public is in charge, but we have some private money in it. Well, like our amalgamated electrical system here in Ontario, which was set up as a public-private partnership, after 7 years when nobody's looking, it was all privatized. There's no public in it anymore. And this is the same thing they did in Russia when the Iron Curtain came down. While people cheered, there was something very nefarious going on. And that was a sell-off of all the public assets to politicians or ex-politicians, friends of politicians, and so on and so forth. Made some people very, very wealthy. Didn't do anything for the country. Joel Clark is vice president and mentor of the Global Leadership Foundation. That doesn't sound very nationalistic, does it? An organization that works to support democratic leadership, prevent and resolve conflict through mediation, and promote good governance in the form of democratic institutions, open markets, human rights, and the rule of law. It does so by making available discreetly and in confidence the experience of former leaders to today's national leaders. Okay, so you've got the old leaders who make information in that available discreetly and in confidence. So you have the old leaders, the old Marxist leaders, the old globalist leaders that we used to call it prime ministers, sitting in the wings waiting to help the new leaders keep moving the program forward. It's a not-for-profit organization composed of former heads of government, senior governmental and international organization officials who work closely with heads of government on governance-related issues of concern to them. Not to you, but to them. Is also a member of Washington, D.C. based think tank, the Inter-American Dialogue. Clark sat on the International Advisory Board of Governors of the Center for International Governance Innovation before 2012. Now, I get this. This is kind of cute here at the bottom. Clark was attacked while walking down the street in Montreal in mid-November 2007, the attacker first asked him if he was the former prime minister, and when Clark answered that he was, the man struck him in the head and fled. Clark sustained a bloody nose but was not seriously injured. I don't know. They have all these weeks. They have the LGBTQ week, month, day. They've got, they just have no end of days. International Day of this, International Day of that. We should make up a new International Day, you know. Well, pick a date. Pick any date. Better still, pick a month. And we'll have the International Day of punching a politician in the nose the whole month. You see a politician, walk up, whack him in the nose. You know, don't hurt them where they're disabled forever. Just nice shot in the head. Well, if you don't like to hit somebody in the face, kick them in the shin. But it should be the month of political abuse, I guess, because we put up with political abuse 24/7 all year round. So surely the people should have a month, at least a month, where they can retaliate and show the politicians what they think of what they're up to. So the Global Leadership Foundation has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? The Global Leadership Foundation is a nonprofit, non-governmental organization that arranges the use of a network of former heads of state or government and other distinguished leaders who make their personal experience and advice available discreetly to those in power today. Found in 204 by F.W. de Klerk, the former president of South Africa. GLF is unique in that the advice given by GLF members to current heads of state is done so strictly confidentially with no publicity whatsoever. Well, gee whiz, that kind of sounds like almost like the Privy Council where you take an oath of secrecy for life. It's not what's going on in front of your face, folks. It's what's going on in the background that matters. So quit wasting your typing skills on writing silly little things about the present politicians. So what do they handle here? Handling ethnic divisions, constitution making and electoral systems, policies towards the World Trade Organization, which is a really great organization that pretty much nobody likes. Political initiatives to defuse conflicts, security sector reform, presidential office management, mediation to help ensure stability before and after elections, mediation to resolve institutional deadlock, the creation of a climate that is open to foreign investment. But you don't get to know what they're talking about. So you don't. Because then you might ask some questions. So, GLF members, there are currently 41 active members of the Global Leadership Foundation. You have the guy that got it going, President of Republic of South Africa, Joe Clark, Vice Chairman, Prime Minister of Canada, Baroness Catherine Ashton, High Representative of the European Union. Oh, there's somebody you want board. Let's see, Prime Minister of Sweden, Algeria, Armenia, Swiss Confederation, Turkey, New Zealand, then the list goes on. And some of these people I've seen or researched their names before, and there's a huge list. Well, it's 40-some. Let's see, Thomas Pickering, U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, 1997-2000, and a U.S. Ambassador to the UN. And, yeah, this goes on. So, yeah, so you can look this stuff up. You know, all you got to do is stick Joel Clark or any politician. You can put in almost any politician, but you really want to, you know, to get to the meat of it, put in past prime ministers and cabinet ministers or whatever that you know their names. So Clark also sat on the International Advisor Board of Governors of the Center for International Governance Innovation. So we'll click on them, see what they're up to. Independent nonpartisan think tank on global governance, supports research, forms networks, advances policy debate, and generates ideas for multilateral governance improvements. Interdisciplinary work includes collaboration with policy, business, academic communities around the world, headquartered in the former Seagram Museum in the Uptown District of Waterloo, Ontario. So downtown, or the Uptown District of Waterloo, Ontario, houses the Center for International Governance Innovation. doesn't have anything to do with the betterment of this particular nation. In fact, exactly the opposite. So let me see here. There's partners, research programs, international relations, international economy, financial regulation. Let's see. Partners, since its inception, has partnered with other think tanks and organizations from around the world. A partnership is currently underway with the Institute for New Economic Thinking, an organization funded by, let's see, our borders are open because we are a member state of the United Nations. And according to the paper, we are obligated through our agreements and membership, being a member state of the United Nations, we are obligated to open our borders to basically whoever the hell wants to come across them. So it was Canada partnering with the UN Refugee Agency and George Soros' Open Society, which is directing the opening and use of our open borders. And the other party that is partnered in that is George Soros of Open Society. So in this particular piece here, which is the Center for International Governance Innovation, headquartered in Waterloo, Ontario, we have the partners. Under, the Institute for New Economic Thinking, an organization funded by George Soros in the wake of the financial crisis, which was designed, as all crises are designed. Phil, I haven't got time to go look at the Institute for New Economic Thinking, but you can. It's all international. While early research focused solely on international relations and the international economy, the center's programs now examine three themes: the global economy, global security and politics, and international law. And while we're sitting around bitching about politicians, okay, the international lawyers are writing international law, because we're going to need international law once they've killed the nation state. But even while the nation state still survives in one form or another, we're still under international law because, well, we've partnered or we've become a member state of the United Nations. And the international law basically is the law of the United Nations, which they want to, either the UN or another party, to become the new global government. So Joe Clark, this is what kills me about politics, all right? So you got Trudeau, who is Soros' bum boy, I guess, who's a liberal. And over here at Innovation for Governance or whatever it is in Waterloo, Ontario, we have, with Joe Clark involved in it, we have George Soros involved in it. What you find when you go through these lists is that you keep running into the same people all the time. Some of these people, I swear to God, I got to be on 20 different organizations, global international organizations, but generally it's mostly the same people, and they're the ones that are running your country, not the stupid politicians. they're part of the ruse. Always have been. So, if let's see, it is now situated in the CIGI campus, which also houses the CIG auditorium and the Ballastiel School of International Affairs. So the Center for International Governance was founded in 2001 by Jim Ballastiel, then co-CEO of Research in Motion, which is the BlackBerry. So he made an initial donation of $20 million to establish a new economic institute, renamed CIGI in 2002, with Mike Lizards, his then co-CEO at Research in Motion, contributing an additional $10 million. The combined $30 million in funds was matched by the government of Canada in 2003. So there's another $30 million of your money. You're sitting in the hallways in the hospitals, and here's another $30 million of your money gone to international governance innovation. And you ought to be really pissed off. There's, you know, you go through this stuff. And let's see, let's see, 2012, President Medora is former Vice President of Programs at the International Development Research Center, also high-level positions at the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the Government of Canada. So you really need to go through this stuff. Because if you don't, you won't get it. You'll just bitch about Trudeau's silly socks and stuff, which is, unfortunately, not real important. You got to go deeper, people. You got to go deeper. So that's one good way for you to do it, is to just go and pick a name, you know. You know, go and go to these sites, right, to understand what's going on in your country. Like, people are bitching about the Ismaili immigration minister wanting to get rid of this 40-year-old deal where you can't just be bringing people in that are going to cost the healthcare system and the welfare system big time. Because that's just a little thing that they put out there, so you got something new to bitch and complain about. And then tomorrow there'll be something else to bitch about, but you'll forget about what you were bitching about the day before. And you're just being along, you know, led along by the nose, bitching and complaining, because there's always going to be something else new to bitch and complain about. Now, so this is a Center for Global Governance, and the Global Governance, if you put that in, you know, there's so many links. Global governance, or world governance, is a movement towards political cooperation among transnational actors aimed at negotiating responses to problems that affect more than one state or region, institutions of global governance, the United Nations. Oops. Global governance? Dash the United Nations? Whoa. Where did I hear that before? Comma, the International Criminal Court. Comma, the World Bank, etc. Tend to have limited or limited power to enforce compliance. The modern question of world governance exists in the context of globalization and globalizing regimes of power politically, economically, and culturally in response to the acceleration of worldwide interdependence. Now, interdependence is a word I really hate. It was basically stewed up by, I never remember that guy's name. But he did a lot of writing on interdependence. Canadian. Moore Strong and Rockefeller Boy. Jim McNeil, that's his name. So we have all this interdependence, you see, because no nation can stand alone. We're all interdependent. And that's how the world's going to run. Interdependence both between human societies and between humankind and the biosphere. The term global governance may name the process of designated laws, rules, or regulations intended for a global scale. Global governance is not a singular system. There is no world government, but the many different regimes of global governance have the same commonalities. So they tell you it's not global government, it just has the same commonalities, which is takes you back to the old margarine commercial, right? Why, it tastes just like butter. Well, it's not butter, you jackasses. It's something that an animal won't even eat. And if an animal's smart enough not to eat margarine, then why in the hell are we allowing ourselves, who are supposed to be smarter than animals, to be dragged down the hole to hell, basically, of world governance? Well, the contemporary system of global political relations is not integrated. The relation between the various regimes of global governance is not insignificant, and the system does have a common dominant organizational form. The dominant mode of organization today is bureaucratic, rationale, regularized, codified, and rational. It is common to all modern regimes of political power and frames the transition from classical sovereign nations to what David Held describes as the second regime of sovereignty, liberal international sovereignty. And that you, it doesn't matter, you put liberal, it's the same thing. Progressive conservative is liberal. Okay, so don't get this idea in your head that, well, this says liberal international sovereignty, so we got to get rid of liberal. No. No, you got to get rid of the United Nations. You got to get rid of anybody who supports it, anybody that works for it, anybody pushing the programs and the agendas. And I see by the clock we're just out of time. So that was just, you know, pick off a thing in the brainwashing corporation news, which was about letting in people who are disabled from other countries, and you just follow it through, and now you're at a global government. And this is what you have to do, folks. You have to educate yourself, because you got to ask questions in order to do it. Anyways, hear music means we're out of time. Everybody have a great night, and I guess we'll be back Sunday. Take care, everybody.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the more.